way back into the Old Testament. Let me open up my notes. And it's the story of Samson. I'll just read a bit. You see, a certain man of Sora named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're sterile, you're childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son." And then he lays out what should happen. The boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. It's the story of Samson. It's in Judges 13. And here's how it ends, that 13th chapter. The woman gave birth to a boy, called him Samson. And he grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him while he was in Manahem Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. It's a remarkable story. You know, in 1854, the Franklin expedition sailed from England to find the Northwest Passage through the Arctic Ocean. They took two sailing ships, and they took a lot of things they didn't need. A 1,200-volume library, fine china, crystal goblets, sterling silverware for each of the officers with their initials engraved on the handles. It was amazing. They only took 12 days' supply of coal for the engines, you know, the auxiliary steam engines. And they got trapped at the two ships in the vast frozen plains of the Arctic ice. Franklin would die after several months, and the men decided to try and trek in small groups to find civilization. None of them survived. And one story in particular, so I'm talking to you about it, is very heartbreaking. Two officers pulled a sledge more than 65 miles across the ice pack. And then when rescuers found their bodies, the sledge was filled with silverware and table silver. They were carrying what they didn't need. And the two men contributed to their own failure. And we do that. We carry things. We drag baggage through life, habits that drag us down, grudges that will not let go, agendas that, you know, we make. And we carry baggage. And when you meet Samson, you meet a deliverer who could not deliver himself, a strong man who never knew where he was weak, called to declare war on the Philistines, yet he's so fraternized with the enemy that he married a Philistine woman. And he fought the Lord's battles by day, and he disobeyed the Lord's command by night. And he was given a name that means sunny. Samson means sunny. And he ended up in the darkness because he was ultimately blinded. They put out his eyes, and they made him grind corn for the Philistines. And the darkness of the Philistines overwhelmed Israel with fear and any talk of Jehovah, like happening now in Manipur, was muted. But an incredible experience was about to take place, and the Spirit came upon him. I was talking about Pentecost. It's Pentecost today in Bulgaria. They're a week behind us. You know, when I read my Bible, sometimes the Spirit of God swayed a nation, a tribe or a section of a tribe. And here was an individual. And it's an amazing event. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And yet when I think about it, without the Spirit, man is nothing. And when the two coalesce, when they fuse, when they interact, the results will be phenomenal. It will always be so. It seems strange when you read the book of Judges. It's a book of strife, of bloodshed, of degradation, of the basis of human passions, and they belch out like some Mount Vesuvius, dark days and difficult places. But the Spirit came upon him, and we are in some dark days. Dark days all around our world, dark days now in Manipur. dark days in our nation, dark days in our church. And we need the Spirit to come upon us once more. And it's interesting when you read this, began to move him. Because if you go back to the opening chapters of Genesis, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and chaos became cosmos. Peter says this, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And here's Samson. He's moved. Now, in the Hebrew, Hebrew words are like picture galleries. You can translate them one way or another. I think the NIV translates move, stir. But when the Spirit of God began to move him, it was to impel him, push him, force him. It was compulsion. And when Samson was a youth, was he reluctant? Was he diffident? Was he casual? Was he too preoccupied? And he was moved. He was compelled. He was thrust forward. It's the same idea you have with Jesus. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's when Jesus says, you pray. Look, the harvest is plenteous. Pray that the Spirit will thrust, will move, will compel harvesters. That's what we need. There are no young men wanting pastorates. We've got so many churches without. We need to pray for the Spirit to move young men and thrust them out. But I could take it another way. I could translate this Hebrew word, move, as if I got a sword. I'm cutting him. I'm convicting him. I'm in a way, hurting him. And in a way, when the Spirit moves us, it hurts. It hurts me to see so many absent people, to see the gallery without young people teeming anymore up there. You know, that compulsion now has become a kind of conviction. And when the Spirit of God comes into our life, it leaves scars because we won't deal with issues. It's not a light thing. Paul says, you know, I die daily. I know it is to be crucified, to be cut in my heart and my life, so I change things. But I could take it another way. And it was to beat. The Holy Spirit began to move him, began to beat. And the whole idea in the Hebrew, the language is so colorful, is that you have an anvil and you're pounding a piece of hot iron you bought out of the frame and you're knocking it into shape. And that's what God does for us. That's how he shapes us, makes us useful for service, how he molds our lives and the blows that come. The blows that come, the disasters, the pain, the loss, the sickness, the failure of your personal plans, your frustrated ambitions, the storms that come which threaten to overwhelm you and submerge us. It's the Spirit working. How could I have ministered to those two people? How could I, in all of the years I've gone to people, one of the things they would say to me under the communists, you have academic qualifications that suit the communist leaders. To them, you are an academic. Because I have more than the theology, I have the other degrees. But do you know how to suffer? Yeah, I know how to suffer. I had a boy. And then I had another son who spent 45 days on life support. And this was the Spirit coming upon Dave Saunders to make him fit to be used in many parts of the world. The Spirit began to move him, take away any reluctance, cut away any of those things, shaping his life. Scripture talks about the trial of your faith. But there was one more way you can take this word move. And I saw it in Plovdiv last week. And I saw it in the pictures from Manipur. Dong the dong. Ring the bell. And then it's a question that the Holy Spirit comes and he puts music in the soul. There's a bell in every breast, every one of your hearts and lives. How can I get the music out? That's the problem. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you and he strikes the bell. He moves you. And a song, you know, the psalmist says, he puts a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Let go of your doubts. May the Spirit move you today. Push you where you don't want to be pushed. Cut things that need to go. Through the circumstances of life, shape you, mold you, beat you on the anvil of life. And then may he put a song there. And here's what it says. The Spirit of God began to move him at times. There's a start. Not startling maybe at the beginning, but at least he began. And I found over the years of ministry, many people will start. They've got good intention. They have wonderful, high and lofty ideals and ambitions and purposes. They don't keep going. And it was began to move him at times. When Samson was moved by the Spirit, he was the Hercules of his age, and none could stand before him. But in the way, it was like a bubbling spring. Many years ago, I asked the Lord Jesus, because he said, out of you will flow rivers of living water. And the scriptural exhortation, let me come back to Pentecost last week and continue it today. To be born of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Not at times, but all of the time. And here's one more bit, and I'm done. It was God's Holy Spirit. The Spirit moved him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson would perform some of the most exciting deeds of prowess. He would take a jawbone of an ass and win a battle. The many conflicts with the Philistines. The Spirit affected him physically that he was able and strengthened to do God-given work and judge Israel for 20 years. You moved by the Spirit? Do you want to know what makes sense of Dave Saunders? What makes me do the things I do? Because here's my heart. And for 53 years, he has moved me by his Spirit in the camp of Rochford and Canoodon and Baggersham and the county of Essex. And because you recognize that, then you gave me all those weeks every year to let me go across the world. I have made 196 trips overseas. I don't know how, but moved in the camp of Rochford Congregational Church. You know, the camp of Dan was not an easy place to be. It was awkward putting up your tents on windswept hills. Ask my daughter about the Bay of Biscay. We were camped at Keskai to reach the Portuguese with a tent. And he kept blowing down. I weighted it with bricks, with stones and everything under the sun. That was Dan. And you know what Dan was? Nobody and nothing. The most insignificant place. And people look at a map and they see Rochford like a little dot. And they say to me, do you fall off into the sea from there? I said, no, it takes 4 miles. You have to go to Southend to fall off. To many folk, I want you to hear me. We are an insignificant place, the Camp of Dan, between Zora and Eshtaol. And you live here. And it's here God wants you to be. And here he wants spirit anointed men and women with sweetness of temper and purity of life who are self-sacrificing, who are concerned for others. And you've been that, and you must still be that. And we want more to be that again as we rebuild after the pandemic. Do you remember the Concorde? July 25th, 2000, Air France Concorde. About to take off at Paris. 123 people lost their lives. And the cause of the crash was a 16-inch strip of metal on the runway. And it burst a tire, and the debris ruptured the fuel tank in the wing. And when the plane was on fire, I'll tell you, because I have never forgotten it, all the pilot could say, he could not halt the takeoff. His last words were, too late. We only have one life to live. And we need to do business with God before that life ends. And lives enriched by the Holy Spirit are an absolute must. Because if it's not the Spirit that moves you, there'll be a day when it's too late. For those of you who have to leave us and go on your way, go on your way, moved by the Spirit in the camp of Rochford between Southend and Rayleigh, so that you will be a blessing to those you meet this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.